was clearing up here.
Please turn to Romans 8. We continue through one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Our verses today are 26 and 27. We concluded last time by being reminded that as Christians, we don't live by sight but by faith, and we have a hope of eternity, which the Spirit assures us of by His ministry in our lives. And 25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And now 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask you that this morning your Spirit, the very Spirit that prays for us, would inhabit this place. And we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, have you ever, or do you ever, find yourself at the place where you say, "Lord, I know I need to pray, but I just don't know what to say. I need you, Lord. I don't have the resources to provide for what I need, but you do." And as believers, when we have these moments, as believers who are seeking the Lord, oftentimes we'll have deep longings that are inexpressible. No, I'm talking about biblical longings, longings where deep down we're seeking God's will, not our own, not the flesh, not the sinful nature, but God's Spirit. We want to do His will. We want to know Him. And yet we just don't know how to pray. Well, Paul has some good news for those of us when we find ourselves in that situation. He's been talking about the ministry of the Spirit throughout, really, this whole chapter, Romans 8. And he's been talking about the Spirit's relationship to the different aspects of life. Early on in the first few verses, he talked about the relationship of the Spirit to us and to the law of God, and that through the Spirit, we're set free from the law of sin and death, and we're set free to be conformed more and more into the image of Christ and to fulfill the law. We next learn that the Holy Spirit helps us, doesn't help us, He does it. He subdues our sinful nature that we might grow in grace. That was in 9 to 13. In 14 to 17, that we learn that the Holy Spirit assures us that we're adopted as God's children. Then last time in 18 to 23, we learned that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee and the foretaste of our eternal reward. And today we learn even more personally that the Holy Spirit is one who intercedes for us. He helps us with our prayers. The Spirit's help in prayer is the answer to our weakness. That's the thesis for today's message. The Spirit's help in prayer, that's the answer to our weakness. Number one, we ourselves, in our weakness, we don't know what to pray for. In fact, you could even go further than that. We don't know what to pray for. We're unable to pray without God's help. It is the union with Christ through God's Spirit that relates us to God in the first place, that allows us to say, "Abba, Father, Daddy." if we say it reverently and with affection to the Lord, the one true creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. Through the Spirit, we can come to him and say, Abba, Father, I need you. But because we are weak, we're told likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't know what to pray for, but we know that we have a need, and we know that only God is the only one who can meet that need. Our biggest weakness that he seems to be getting at here is that simple fact. We don't have the wisdom to know what we need, but God does. He gives us the scripture to study, to meditate on, to give us his principles, his commands, his wisdom on how to live, how to be saved, how to grow in Christ, how to live as his people in the church. He gives us each other to grant wisdom to one another. But ultimately, as we seek to make decisions and do what we need to do each day of our life in the big and the small things, only through the work of God's Spirit working in us will we actually walk that path of righteousness, those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We just don't know. We need God's help to know, but in the meantime, we have a Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a person, the third person of the Trinity going to God on our behalf. The Spirit fills our lack with his ministry on our behalf. The Spirit, as one pastor says, counterbalances the handicap we have in prayer by interceding for us according to God's will. Number two, I have it like this. The indwelling Spirit, we've learned that already, he comes to dwell within us. The deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The indwelling Spirit helps us by interceding for us and through us with speechless groans, but according to God's will. Again, I told the session this morning, preaching through Paul's epistles, and particularly when you're taking them a few verses at a time, sometimes you come to a place and there's just a simple message and there's not a lot the preacher can do. You know, some preachers who are better than me or eloquent can paint lots of pictures, and I'll try to paint at least one little picture, but this is a real simple, direct message. It doesn't need a lot of help from me, I don't think, for you to understand it. Just the Spirit, the very Spirit to whom we're studying, he's who you need to help you. There's three things he does for us. He helps us. Isn't that great news? The Spirit, God's Spirit, a person. He, the Spirit, it says, himself. He helps us. We need to pray to commune with God. We need to have our prayers of adoration, of confession, of thanksgiving, and of supplication. And he helps us to do that. He helps us to pray God's praises. He helps us to pray thanksgiving. He helps us to confess our sins by letting us know what they were when we haven't even noticed them sometimes. And he helps us to pray according to God's will. He helps us. He intercedes for us. That means he goes to the Father on our behalf. Now we're told, and he does so with groanings too deep for words. This is not so much talking about that an audible groaning like we might groan, but more of a metaphorical groaning, a deep down sense that's more of an expression, a silent expression of that need that with each other we might communicate with body language, quiet body language, but it's an internal, a spiritual language. We need you. And so the Holy Spirit helps those longings that I talked about at the beginning of wanting to do God's will, of knowing we need to pray and not knowing what to say. He goes to God for us. He intercedes for us. He's God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. He proceeds from the Father and from the Son, as the Nicene Creed teaches us. And so he prays on our behalf. As a side note, remember we also have a high priest in heaven at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, our high priest, praying on our behalf. We have two persons of the Godhead going to God for us. So we ought not fear. We ought not live in anxiety. We ought not live in anger or confusion or wondering. We have the Son and the Spirit going to the Father on our behalf. And it won't be denied because, see, the Spirit intercedes according to God's will. He's God. And he's a person. And he proceeds from the Father and the Son. And the Father searches our hearts. The Father knows what's deep down. What did we learn back when he was calling David to be his king? He said, you folks are looking on the outward appearance, all these big, strong, handsome brothers, and here's this little guy, the shepherd. I'm looking in his heart, the shepherd boy. I know his heart. He's the one I want. God looks at the heart. In fact, Tom Schreiner says, God searches the hearts of believers and finds unutterable longings to conform their lives to the will of God. The Holy Spirit takes these groanings, presents them before God in an articulate form. So God's will not be frustrated in our lives. We have the Spirit and the Son at work for us. God's will be fulfilled in the lives of his children. What does this look like? You know, I have one simple little illustration. These illustrations are always difficult because when you're trying to illustrate God, we're finite. He's infinite. But Thomas, my 5-year-old, has watched his older brothers mow. And even though the oldest boys kind of roll their eyes that dad's going to let him mow at 5 years old, we'll go out to mow. And we went out to mow yesterday, and it wasn't time to mow the church yet, but so I took Thomas out after everybody had finished mowing up. My older sons had mowed the Hilliers yesterday. So Thomas wanted to mow, so we took the mower out to these two little kind of medians that jut out on either side of the sidewalk. We mowed them, and Thomas mowed them. But can you picture what it might have looked like for Thomas to be mowing? Well, Thomas was there on the mower, but behind him and a little bit to the side was his hand right here, and it was sticking out, holding the mower down and pushing it as he did. And we went around in a square on each of those little squares, and then we did a little line beside the sidewalk. If y'all noticed that was Thomas, and he did that little line. Thomas mowed. He did. But if you look at it from the bigger picture, you'd see a little more going on there. So the Holy Spirit, we pray, we cry out deep down, but it's the Holy Spirit ultimately who takes our prayers to God. And so number three, God the Father, who both searches our hearts and knows the Spirit's mind. God searches our hearts and he knows the Spirit's mind, and so God the Father hears and answers accordingly. And so we get the answer we need. John Murray put it like this. This is in your bulletin. The children of God have two divine intercessors. Christ is their intercessor in the court of heaven. The Holy Spirit is their intercessor in the theater of their own hearts. And God the Father hears and answers according to his will. That's the message. And that's good news. I want to close with an illustration based on a letter I received from an old mentor. Y'all know several months ago I shared with you that I had been sexually abused as a child. Now, I mentioned some things about that and used it in talking about a sermon back earlier in this series on Abraham's faith. But when I was in South Carolina, a particular counselor referred me to Barney Davis, a Christian psychiatrist. And I began going to see Barney, and In my experience with Barney, I felt like the woman at the well who runs home and says, I just met a man who told me everything I ever did. Because Barney, God used Barney to help me make sense of who I was. And frankly, I've never really talked much about this. We all need some Christian counseling from time to time, and we still go. So I commend it to you. Well, Barney Davis, his I guess he was about 58 or 59 at the time that I was going to see him. His wife developed what they thought was Alzheimer's or dementia. They now realize it was something called Pick's disease. But he sent he moved to Phoenix for her sake and to be near his grandchildren, and lived there about the last 8 or 10 years, and she finally has recently passed away. So he sent us this support letter, or he would send support letters in the past we were supporting. He was actually a psychiatrist who, in particular, served missionaries. Missionaries all around the world, and when they're off the field, need care. It's a tough job. And so he goes around the world, as well as when they come home for furlough, and he ministers to missionaries in particular. That's one reason he was seeing me as a pastor. But he sent out his message, or his letter, and the first thing he said was, he quoted Joshua from the book of Joshua, where Caleb says, he's talking to his mentor, and Caleb says to Joshua, I was 40 when Moses called me. Now 45 years have passed. I'm 85 years old. But I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that we left. Barney wrote here, he who began a good work will perfect it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Well, to bring this down to this sermon today, why does this matter for us? Barney says, so, I'm 70 years old. I am widowed. He goes on and talks. Some of his friends have gone on to be with the Lord. Most of the rest of them have retired. And so he says, my wife has now gone to be with the Lord. But I'm still here. And then I'll skip some and say this. He says, since Karen's death, I have been essentially starting anew as I talk with God. My mouth surrendering any claim on the skills, reputation, and image, all gifts from him in the first place, that I had grown to rely on to feed my need for doing something or being someone meaningful. He enjoyed going around the world and ministering to missionaries. He says, I felt very meaningful doing that. The past 8 or 10 years, I've just been caring for my wife as Pick's disease took its toll and eventually took her out of this earth and to heaven. And so he says, my mouth is getting more comfortable with that daily prayer. That daily prayer, Lord, I have nothing except what you've given me. But my heart is lagging behind, afraid of what I would do if all that I have been and done would no longer dictate what I would do next. And so while I wait for my heart to catch up, God is still at work. He is not finished with me yet. But I also think he is more interested in my knowing him better first and foremost. God isn't finished with me yet, nor is my story yet complete. God isn't finished with any of you yet. Your story is not complete. God has in store to give us more and more of his glorious and abundant grace. And so, like Barney, let's maybe start anew in our talks with God. Let's follow Barney's prayer and surrender anything we would bring to the table. Let's thank him that all we have is from him. And let's join together with the Holy Spirit, our intercessor in our own hearts, and with Christ, our intercessor in heaven, and pray, God, may your will be done in each of our lives, and even on this earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, just like with Barney, you are not finished with us yet. Whatever our age, whatever our stage, whatever our circumstances, thank you, Holy Spirit, for interceding on our behalf. Thank you, O Christ, for interceding on our behalf. Help us learn to pray and to listen, that according to your word and your spirit, you would guide us in paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen.